right? Transcendental book distribution key, right? Transcendental prasana distribution key, right? Harinama Sankirtan ki jai, Iskan Yutvagadam ki jai, Nithai Gaura Pramanandi Haribo Haribo, all glories to December devotees, Hare Krishna, all glories to December devotees, Hare Krishna, all glories to December devotees, Hare Krishna, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nanayana Namaskrityam. Naranchaiva Narottamam. Devin Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Uditayet Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavad Udamashtoke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So reading from Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So today we are going to read the introduction of Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Yeah. So originally delivered as 5 morning lectures on Chaitanya Charitamrita, the authoritative biography of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, before the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, New York City, April 10th to 14th, 1967. The word Chaitanya means living force. As living entity, we can move, but a table cannot, because it does not possess living force. So, by reading this, I suddenly have a question, you know, within my mind. What is the difference between a dead body and a living body? Correct. Abhay is very smart. Wonderful. Yes. Because within the living body, there's a spirit soul, which is the living force. But the dead body, because there is no living spirit soul inside, so even the dead body has eyes, he cannot see. Even the dead body has ears, he cannot hear. Even the dead body has the hands, you know, he cannot feel. But we, living body, so we can see with our eyes, we can hear from our ears, and we can taste the taste of the foodstuffs from our tongue, by our tongue. And we can, you know, feel in the object by touching it. Whereas the dead body cannot. So that is the difference between the dead body and the living body. And then Prabhupada continues explaining, saying that movement and activities may be considered to be signs of symptoms of the living force. Indeed, it may be said that there can be no activity without the living force. Although the living force is present in the material condition, it is not amrita, immortal. The words Chaitanya Charitamrita then may be translated as the character of the living force in immortality. But how is this living force displayed immortality? It is not displayed by man or any other any other creature in this material universe. For none of us are immortal in these bodies. We possess the living force, we perform activities, and we are immortal by our nature and constitution. But the material condition into which we have been put does not allow our immortality to be displayed. It is stated in the Katha Upanishad that eternality and the living force belong both to ourselves and God. Although this is true in that both God and ourselves are immortal, there is a difference. As living entity, we perform many activities, but we have a tendency to fall down into material nature. God has no such tendency. Being all-powerful, he never comes under the control of material nature. Indeed, material nature is but one display of his inconceivable energies. So it reminds me one verse from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 10. Lord Krishna says, Maya dyakshena prakriti suyatesha chanam chanam hetu nanena kunteya jagat vipa nivatate. Krishna says that this material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So from here we can clearly understand that Lord Krishna is never under the control of material nature. Actually, this material nature is coming from Lord Krishna himself. Is under the direction of Lord Krishna and created, annihilated again and again. So, Prabhupada then further explained, very nice explanation, you know, let's see, huh? On the ground, we may see only clouds in the sky, but if we fly above the clouds, we can see the sun shining. From the sky, skyscrapers and cities seem very tiny. Similarly, from God's position, this entire material creation is insignificant. The tendency of the conditioned living entity is to come down from the heights where everything can be seen in perspective. God, however, does not have this tendency. The Supreme Lord is not subject to fall down into illusion, Maya, any more than the sun is subject to fall beneath the clouds. Because the Supreme Lord is not subject to illusion, he is unconditioned. Because we, as finite living entities, are prone to fall into illusion. We are called conditioned. So again, the same verse, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 10. Yeah. It's confirmed about this. Because Maya, this material energy, is actually coming from Lord Krishna. It's just like the clouds in the sky. And Krishna is like the sun. He will never be covered by the clouds. Yeah. Impersonalist philosophers, Mayavadis, maintain that both the living entity and God himself are under the control of Maya when he comes into this material world. This may be true of the living entity, but it is not true of God. For in all instances, the material energy is working under his direction. Those who consider the Supreme Lord to be subject to material conditioning are called fools by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita. Avajananti mamuda manushin tanu ashritam parambhavam achananto mamabhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme domination over all that be. Actually, in another place in the Bhagavad Gita, I think it's chapter 4, text number 9, Krishna says, Jamakama chamadivyam evan yoveti tatvataha tyaktvan tyaktvandeham punajamam naitimam etisho Arjuna. Krishna tells Arjuna that whoever knows my appearance and the disappearance are transcendental, are not material, then he is able to go back to Godhead, go back to Krishna after the death. So that means whenever Krishna comes to this material world, you know, although he has a body, but his body is Satchitananda. He's actually spiritual, he's eternal. Not have a material body like us. And if one can understand the activities, the birth of Lord Krishna like that, then he's eligible to go back to Krishna. Yeah. It's actually very simple. We should simply understand that Krishna is always transcendental. Yeah, he's not subject to this material world. Yeah. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should not be considered to be one of us. He is Krishna himself, the supreme living entity. And as such, he never comes under the cloud of Maya. Krishna, his expansions, and even his higher devotees never fall into clutches of illusion. Lord Chaitanya came to earth simply to preach Krishna Bhakti, love of Krishna. In other words, he is Lord Krishna himself teaching the living entities the proper way to approach Krishna. He is like the teacher who, seeing a student doing poorly, takes up a pencil and writes, saying, do it like this, ABC. By this, one must not foolishly think that the teacher is learning his ABCs. Although he appears in the guise of a devotee, we should always remember that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, God himself, teaching us how to become Krishna conscious, and we must study him in that light. So, by reading this paragraph, it reminds me one verse from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Queen Kunti, she was praying to, she's praying to Lord Krishna, Maya Chavani Kachanam, Agyat Dokshatyam Avyayam, Narakshya Se Muda Disha, Nato Natya Daroyata. Queen Kunti, upon the leaving of Lord Krishna to Dwarka, so he was making some prayers to Lord Krishna. In this particular prayer, he was saying, being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. So, similarly, here Lord Chaitanya is the same thing. You know. Although Lord Chaitanya is acting like a devotee, you know, teaching us how to develop love for Krishna, but actually Lord Chaitanya himself is Krishna himself, is God himself, is Krishna himself. So one should have, you know, intelligence to understand that. A foolish man cannot understand that, because they are covered by the Krishna's illusory energy, by Maya. Yeah. In the Bhagavad Gita, 1866, Lord Krishna sets forth the highest religious principle in this way. Sarva dharmam parityajyam mam ekam saranam raja. Aham tvam sarva pavebhyo mokshayishyami mam sucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. This may seem to be a simple instruction to follow, but invariably our reaction is, oh, surrender, give up. But I have so many responsibilities. And Maya illusion says to us, don't do it, or you will be out of my clutches. Just stay in my clutches, and I'll kick you. It is a fact that we are constantly being kicked by Maya, just as the male ass is kicked by the face of the she-ass when he comes for sex. Similarly, cats and dogs are always fighting and whining when they have sex. These are the kicks of nature. Even an elephant in the jungle is caught by the use of a trained she-elephant who leads him into a pit. Maya has many activities, and in the material world, her strongest shackle is the female. Of course, in actuality, we are neither male or female. For this designation, we refer only to our outer dress, the body. We are all actually Krishna's servants. Now, like Abhay was telling us, we are all spirit soul. We are not this material body. Yeah. In the conditioned life, however, we are all shackled by the iron chains which take the form of beautiful women. Thus, every male is bound by sex life, and therefore, when one attempts to gain liberation from the material clutches, he must first learn to control the sex urge. Unrestricted sex puts one fully in the clutches of illusion. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu officially renounced this illusion at the age of 24. Although his wife was 16 and his mother 70, and he was the only male member of the family. Although he was a Brahmana and was not rich, he took sannyas, the renounced order of life, and thus extricated himself from family entanglement. So it reminds me another verse from the Nectar of Instructions. Actually, in the first verse of the Nectar Instruction, it is said, Vacha Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam Jiva Vegam utaro pasta vegan. Etam vegan yobisha heta dira. Savam apimam pitivinsa shisha. It is, the translation for this verse is, a sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demand, the action of anger, and the urge of the tongue, belly, and genital, thank you, Baba, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So we, from this verse, we can understand that there are six kind of urges. You know, the urge of to speak, the urge of the minds, the action of anger, and the urge of tongue, belly, and genital. So that's why, you know, Prabhupada, he was saying, it is very important to control the urge of the genital, sex desire. Right? If we wish to become fully Krishna conscious, we have to give up the shackles of Maya. Or if we remain with Maya, we should live in such a way that we will not be subject to illusion. It is not necessary for one to abandon his family. For there were many householders amongst Lord Chaitanya's closest devotees. Closest devotees. What we must renounce is the propensity for material enjoyment. Although Lord Chaitanya approved of a householder having regulated sex in marriage, he was very strict when those in the renounced order, and he even banished Junior Haridas for glancing lustfully at a young woman. The point is that one must take up a particular path and stick to it, obeying all the rules and regulations necessary for success in spiritual life. It was Lord Chaitanya's mission that he teach the path of Krishna. He teach the path of Krishna consciousness to all men, and thereby enable them to partake of the immortality of spiritual life. So here, it is Prabhupada is, you know, describing renunciation. It reminds me, there was one time, I think it was in India, one gentleman, he approached my Guru Maharaj, Tamalkrishna Maharaj, and he was telling my Guru Maharaj that his spiritual master is very renounced, because when his god brothers and god sisters making some donations to his spiritual master, his spiritual master can't even count the money properly. Yeah, renounce the money. And my Guru Maharaj, Tamalkrishna Maharaj, he was telling that gentleman that my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he's very renounced. Because whenever I give him the money, and Srila Prabhupada, he counts the money faster than the bank teller. But he will never use a penny for his own sense gratification. So that's the real renunciation. Yeah. Because, you know, we come to this material world with empty-handed, and we have to leave this material world with empty-handed too. So nothing in this material world belongs to us. So there's no question of renunciation. Yeah. So, but here, Prabhupada very clearly telling us that what we have to renounce is the propensity to endure, you know, this material world. Yeah. And actually, Prabhupada, he said, everything we are having can all be utilized, you know, for Krishna's service. Our wife, children, house, everything. They don't, probably he will explain. Yeah, he will explain, yeah. There will be more explanation later on, yeah. Let's see, huh? Let's continue. From Chaitanya Charitamrita, yes. From Chaitanya Charitamrita, we learn how Chaitanya taught people to become immortal. And as the title may be properly translated as the immortal character of the living force. The supreme living force is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is also the supreme entity. There are innumerable living entities, and all of them are individual. This is very easy to understand. We are all individual in thought and desire. And the Supreme Lord is also an individual person. He is different, though, in that he is the leader, the one whom no one can excel. Amongst the created living entities, one being can excel another in one capacity or another. The Lord is an individual, just as the living entity are individual. But he is different in that he is the supreme individual. God is also infallible. And in the Bhagavad Gita, he is addressed as Achyuta, which means he never falls down. So that is indicated because in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna had fallen into delusion, but Krishna had not. We often hear it said that God is infallible, and in Bhagavad Gita 14:19, Krishna states, "Nayam gunebhya kataram yada drashtanu pashati gunebhyascha gunapeshcha param veti mabhavansho dikachati." When you see that there's nothing beyond these modes of nature in all activities, and that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all these modes, then you can know my spiritual nature. Thus, we should not think that Krishna is overpowered by the material potency when he is in the material world. Krishna and his incarnations are not under the control of material nature. They are totally free. Indeed, in Srimad Bhagavatam, one who has a godly nature is actually defined as one who is not affected by the modes of material nature, although immaterial nature. So this is called Jiva Mukta. Yeah, Jiva Mukta. So that means a pure devotee of the Lord, although he has a body made of material energy, but because he is constantly engaged, his mind, his words, his body in the service of Krishna, so it's completely spiritual. Just like when you put an iron rod into the fire, and after some time, the iron rod becomes red hot like fire. So if you touch the fire, then if you touch the iron rod, then you will be burned. So similarly, the pure devotee of the Lord, although they have a body made of material elements, but because they are constantly engaged, the body and mind, in the service of the Lord, then they are considered, they are not under the control of the material nature. They are actually liberated already. Yeah. This is called Jiva Mukta. So, one who has gotten in nature is actually defined as one who is not affected by the modes of material nature. Although, in material nature, if even a devotee can attain this freedom, then what to speak of the Supreme? The real question is, how can we remain unpolluted by material contamination while in the material world? It was Rupa Goswami who explained that we can remain uncontaminated while in the world if we simply make it our ambition to serve Krishna. So one may then justifiably ask, how can I serve? Obviously, this is not simply a matter of meditation, which is just an activity of the mind, but of practical work. Love of Krishna's service can only be attained by working for Krishna. Yeah. This is very important. So, my Guru Maharaj used to tell us, love means service. If you love someone, then you have to serve someone, serve him or her. Yeah, you have to, for example, if you really love someone, then you have to find out what can please that person. Maybe you should cook something nice that he will like or she will like. Yeah. So love means service. Yeah. Love is actually, by working, working for Krishna. Yeah. I remember one lecture by Prabhupada. Prabhupada, he was, on the battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna, it is not that, because Arjuna is a pure devotee of the Lord, fully surrendered. Now, fully surrendered devotee of Krishna, that doesn't mean now Arjuna can sleep and Krishna will do everything. It's not like that. Yeah. No. Even if you're pure devotee of the Lord, still you have to work for Krishna. Yeah. In such work, we should leave no resource unused. Now we will understand. Whatever is there, whatever we have, should be used for Krishna. We can use everything, typewriters, automobiles, airplanes, missile, everything. So this is real renunciation. Yeah. Everything has to be used in the service of Lord Krishna. So I just stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Abhay. Let's get microphone. Microphone, please. Wait one second. How what? Yes, speak again on the phone.
Yeah. Why would a dead body live without a soul?
Why does a body can live without a soul, right? That's your question,
a dead
right?
Body. Yeah. And why would a dead body live without a soul?
Why a dead body?
He's saying that soul is very important. It's
the dead body cannot live without a soul. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. We can only live because the spirit soul inside. Actually, I remember my Guru Maharaj, he was explaining, he gave a very good example in his book, The Science of Yoga. My Guru Maharaj, he was saying that actually this material body is already dead. Our body is actually is already dead. Just like a car, you know, in the highway. The car looks like alive because the car can run from one place to another. But if the driver, as soon as the driver leaves the car, then the car will not move. It's just a number of dead matter. So similarly, you know, although we can talk, we can walk here and there, but as soon as the spirit soul leaves the body, that body is dead. So the real driver of the body is the spirit soul. Yeah, that's the living force. Any other question? Oh, yes, Mataji. Yeah, microphone, wait.
Is simply an activity of the mind. Can you explain how that is?
It is. Can you say slowly?
It said in the purport, it said that meditation is an activity of the mind. Would you mm-hmm. like to explain that?
Meditation is action for the mind.
It's activity.
Activities of the mind, yes.
Seems kind of like, I mean, that's what we do. We meditate. That's how we connect with Krishna. How is that a mental activity? I can't understand it. Is it a misprint, or is there some way you could explain how something like that can be in the book? It doesn't seem to fit at all with what Krishna consciousness is about, mm-hmm. which is that we meditate on Krishna, and that's how we give him our devotion and our love. So mm-hmm. could you, like, say what...
I'm so sorry, I can't understand her question properly. Can anyone help me to answer this question?
There in the purport, it said, and maybe it's miswritten because it doesn't make any sense, that meditation is an activity of the mind. How is meditation an activity of the mind? I thought meditation is we connect our soul with Krishna. That's what we do when we chant japa. We meditate and we connect our soul with Krishna. How is it a mental activity? And how is that in the?
Maybe in the sense that we're saying that. Meditation means that you're meditating on something, right? I mean, there has to be something you're meditating on. If you're meditating on something material, then it's material. It's a material activity. Yeah, but you have to think, you have to meditate on something. It can't be void. It's either, you know, if it's void, it's impersonal. But if it's something like Krishna, that's spiritual. So, point is that, yes, we think, will, and feel. You can think, will, and feel materially, that's Maya. If you think, will, and feel for spiritual, meaning Krishna, Krishna's service, Krishna's words, Krishna's form, that's spiritual. That meditation is spiritual. So that's what the connection is in terms of meditation. It has to be on something. It can't just be on void. So yes, the mind is there, but you're using it for the purpose of thinking and remembering Krishna. That's spiritual. That's how you control the mind, by thinking about Krishna. Spiritual.
Thank you very much. Jai, thank you very much. Gantra Chima Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Bhaktavinda Ki Jai. Is everything okay, Mataji?